There we go. Maybe it went all the way on there. Okay. All right. And so all your thoughts and your actions of sensuality are to be towards your spouse alone. That is there to enhance that special and very specific love. And it's so important. We won't talk about all these things, but I want you to remember it's so important to maintain that love relationship, or you'll give room for Satan to tempt you. And we listed all those things. The Bible listed many things that are forbidden. Here we see in this verse that fornication or whoremonger, the same word used in the Greek, is forbidden. That's just a sexual activity outside of marriage, and many other things that are listed later on in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 18, that lists specifically these two sins, fornication and adultery. We understand that when it comes before you're married, your first kiss ought to be at the marriage altar. You're to save yourself for your spouse. The Bible tells us to flee fornication. It tells us not good in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2 for a man to touch a woman in any way sexually at all. And then adultery, of course, for those that are married and they're to remain pure. If they do not, then they commit adultery. And even Christ takes it a step farther when he says in Matthew 5, not to even look upon another woman in lust. And we look at Leviticus 18 and all those different sins, sexual sins, that are listed one after another after another. I wonder why God had to be so specific. Because we need that. He knows it's going to be a problem with us. And this was a law given to his people, by the way. He knew that they were going to struggle in this area, and he needed to be very specific, and he was in the book of Leviticus, and a detailed list of all types of forbidden sexual activity. And then as he goes down through there, he comes to the very end, and he lists homosexuality. And with that, he calls it, he tags it with a word called abomination. He said, whoever commits homosexuality or sodomy is an abomination. It's a disgusting thing. It's wickedness. And he goes on and speaks about that specifically. If you commit this sin, that it condemns a nation. In Leviticus 18 through 24 through 30, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to my people. And God condemns a nation that is involved in sodomy. And so that's a warning to all nations. It's certainly a warning to the United States of America. And then Leviticus 20, he makes it very personal towards individuals that are involved in that sexual sin, that it brings a curse upon them. And then in Romans chapter 1, we looked at how the mindset, why do people commit this gross sin? And we looked at the mindset of somebody that's involved in the LGBTQIA movement. And it tells them, it tells us that they changed the truth of God into a lie. So God gave them up to vile affections because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So he gave them over to a reprobate mind. He withdrew himself and they filled themselves with all kinds of sexual lust and other things. And then we looked specifically at transgenderism and how that God made just male and female, and the Bible knows no other gender categories but those two. And Scripture always operates within the binary categories of men and women only. And God forbids absolutely any confusion in this truth. And so he says a man ought to dress like a man, a woman ought to dress like a woman. When it comes to everything, it used to be that was very obvious. You could tell who were men and who were women. And then men started growing their hair long in the 60s and in the 70s. And then in the 80s, they popped in earrings and nose rings. And all. That's just what happened. If you're old enough, you know these things. It wasn't like that before. And then women started to dress more like men and cut their hair short and the different clothes they would wear. And it becomes hard sometimes to distinguish between a man and a woman. And God wants us as Christians to make sure that there's no confusion at all when it comes to our gender. You are to portray what gender you were given at birth. And then the truth, we looked at last week, that the truth is not based upon our feelings or our confusion. Some do struggle with gender identity. And I understand their feelings. There's different reasons why they may feel that way. But how they feel doesn't make it right. Being true to ourselves is always a false choice when it means going against the Word of God. When we go with the Word of God, we know we have the blessings of God. And then we're going to come here to Genesis chapter 19. So if you turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 19, I want to give the story, and I've done this in the past a few years ago. We went through the book of Genesis, And I'll touch some of those things and some other things that I did not. But I want to give you a little background of what's going on here before we read our text in Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 here in just a moment. But I want to give you an understanding of what's going on. And this is going to apply to section 23 when it comes to human sexuality as well. But also a couple other areas I believe will be a help to many of us. But I want to give you the background of the story of Lot. Abraham and Lot, they took out on their own. God called Abraham to the promised land. He became very wealthy. And Lot, as he came along with the man of God, he began to be very wealthy too. And if you know your Bible, you knew they had so much wealth between them that they had to separate themselves one from another. Lot was being blessed by God. And I've seen people, and Lot's a righteous man, and I've seen people as they are staying with other men and women of God, and they're doing right, and they're living right, how that God blesses them over and over and over again. It's the same exact story as I see with Lot. People get tied into God. They get tied into God's people, and the blessings begin to flow. And that's how it was with God. God has blessed Lot as he's blessed us, and we have so much. We have the promise and the presence of God. And so Abraham offers Lot to choose where he would go, because they have to separate, because their substance is so great, their wealth is so great, their animals are so great, there's not enough room to pasture all of them. So they have to separate, put more space between both of them. And so he tells Lot to choose. And we know the story. Lot chooses the plains of Sodom. And because the plains of Sodom were well-watered, it was like the Garden of Eden. Now, put yourself in the place of Lot. Why did he choose the plains of Sodom? Well, it was really because of selfish reasons. He should have deferred to Abraham. Abraham was the oldest. Abraham was the reason why he was being blessed. He should have said, Abraham, I defer to you. Where would you go? But Abraham gives him the choice, and he makes an ungrateful choice based upon his desires. It was a selfish choice based upon his own lust, based upon the economical advantage he would have. If I go over here, I'm going to be in better shape than he's going to be. I'm going to be in better shape than I am right now. His decision-making is not based upon the will of God. It's based purely upon what he believes will be best for him. And it was an unwise choice. It was an ungrateful choice. It was a selfish choice. And it was an unwise choice. He did not consider God's will. He did not consider the depraved character of the inhabitants of the plain where he was going to dwell. And it is with us. And I see this over and over again. God's people are being blessed. There can be a specific individual that's being blessed because they're doing right. And then they make some selfish choices. And things begin to fall apart. They begin to make choices based upon selfishness. They begin to make unwise choices, not really seeking the will of God, which is so important. And if you do not know how to seek the will of God, you must find out how to. You must in everything in your life. This is his life. This is not Kenny's life. This is his life. And I need to be found in him, where he wants me to be. You must always be concerned of God's will. And then the Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. That means he got close to this wicked city. And the men of Sodom, the Bible says in Genesis 13, were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And he could have pitched his tent anywhere. But he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Whatever decisions you make about where you move, where you live, where you go to church, what school you go to, these are all extremely important decisions, and you must be careful where you pitch your tent. But why did he choose Sodom? He chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom because it was the most convenient. There's the city of Sodom. There's the people he wanted to trade with. That's where the money is. Despite the character of these wicked inhabitants, he chose there because the advantage of living near to them in a larger city was more convenient for him. And so Lot is in a habit of making some bad choices. Did I say that Lot was saved? Lot's a righteous man. It's left in the Word of God. There's reasons why. It's because we can struggle with these same things in our life. And Lot's poor choices, his decisions were to make camp, led eventually to his capture. So here's what takes place. Lot chooses here. It's a selfish choice. He wants to consume it upon his own lust. He pitches his tent towards Sodom because it's more convenient for him. And then the next day we find out in the Word of God, here comes an army, five kings that gather together, and they take Lot and his children and the inhabitants of Sodom, and they take him captive. And they go off with him. And there he is. And he's now in a position where there is no hope in saving himself. That's where Lot is. There's nothing he can do now to save himself. Because of his choices, it's caused the enemy to come, and the enemy has taken him into bondage, and Lot cannot save himself. He's helpless. He takes everything that he has. He takes his family. He's a slave. There's no hope. And you know what God is doing? God is trying to get the attention of Lot. He's made some poor choices. He was with the man of God. He was doing right. He made some poor choices. He made some more poor choices till eventually the enemy takes him into captivity. And there is no hope of saving himself. And so Abraham, who is just a man of God, he's not a warrior, but he gathers up his ragtag team of servants. And with the power of God, he goes and he rescues Lot from the enemy and brings everything back. Everything that they had taken, his family and all of his stuff, he brings back to Lot. And Lot is now free again. Have you ever been in trouble? You've done well and you've made some poor choices. You got deep into trouble and you are a mess. But by the grace of God, somebody reached out, and praise God for Abraham. He didn't have to go after Lot. He could have said, Lot deserves what he got, and you know he'd have been right. But he did. Abraham was willing to endure hardships. He was willing to become uncomfortable to rescue Lot, as we must, as we try to rescue our fallen brothers and sisters in Christ. But he's given another chance. Wonderful. And then he makes another poor choice. Genesis chapter 19, we find out, and the next time it comes back to the story of Lot, that he decides to move back to Sodom. You've got to be kidding me. But he does. And look with me in verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your way. He wanted them to get in his house and get out of town, because he knew how wicked it was in this place. He knew how far out of God's will that he was, and he didn't want to spend any more time with them than he needed to spend, and he was concerned for their safety as well. He knew, though, that they were of God. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, that's where the word Sodomites come from, right here. They're not homosexuals first. They were Sodomites first. I still use the word, not in a way to, make anybody feel unwanted or undesired, but that's a biblical word. I want to refer back to where it came from. Right here, they were Sodomites. And they compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And you that know their Bible know what we're talking about. They wanted to have improper sexual relationships with these men. This is insanity. Can the world become so wicked? The answer is yes. And in places of the world, it's still this wicked and will always be wicked people. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after them. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye them to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore come they under the shadow of my roof. And I preached on that verse a couple of different times. I'm not going to tonight, but how sad, how pathetic. How does somebody get to the place They would sacrifice their own children. Wait a minute. Doesn't that happen quite often? Where people make such poor choices. Such poor choices. God even has blessed them at one time. And they were on the mountaintop. And they had their life straight. Only to make poor choices. And be in bondage to their enemy. And then be rescued. And wonderful. Only to make another poor choice. To go back to Sodom. And if that happens, my friend, it will be, you can, there's nothing past you. There's nothing so evil that you would not do. Christians can be some of the most carnal people, just as carnal as any lost man ever has been. Well, let me look where I'm at here. So, Lot went back to Sodom. He moved back to the place, if you read here before in the Bible, Abraham, when he rescued not only Lot, but the people of Sodom from the enemy, the king of Sodom, who in my mind represents Satan, offered him money and jewels and all these different things. And he wouldn't. He said, I won't even take a shoelace from you because I serve Melchizedek, the king of peace. He wouldn't take anything from the king of Sodom. But here Lot decides to move back. And not only go back here, we can see that he's sitting at the gate. He's found at the gate of the city. He has become a part of them. He's in some unholy alliance with this ungodly king, this ungodly people, this ungodly city. He and his family have social interaction with the Sodomites to the place where they're going to accept their ungodly lifestyles. And then soon, if you camp by Sodom and you come and you interact with the people of Sodom, soon you're going to be seduced by Sodom. And here Lot is. He's seduced by the Sodomites. Oh, be careful. You're not above being seduced by the enemy. We see Eve was seduced by the devil. She was absolutely no match for him. We think we've got it handled. Do you think that Lot thought he had it handled? Absolutely he did. Oh, you don't have to worry about me, Abraham. I've got this handled. I can take care of it. No, you can't. Delilah seduced Samson. The Bible says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. False teachers seduce this world with their evolution theology. The world tempts men with money constantly. The devil tempts us with sin on a regular basis. And this is how Lot was seduced by Sodom. As the Bible said, and we've mentioned before, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You're going to be around evil people, make poor choices. It will cause you to be like them more often than for them to be like you. We got to keep our distance. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not partaking, being friends with the world. No, we love the world and we're sacrificing the world. We're even giving our lives to draw people to Christ, but we are separated unto God. The Christians today are being seduced by the world, their customs and their beliefs. Don't you believe so? As we look on Christendom as a whole, or God's church as a whole, as Christians as a whole, it seems like we're being seduced by the world. Indeed, we are. The way we dress, the entertainment that we involve ourselves in. We can see that in the younger generation even more so. We even today, there's people that accept Christians, that accept sins like abortion and homosexuality. That's common among Christians because if you listen long enough, you may be seduced. Job made a covenant with his eyes. Just like the preacher said, you must take precautions. You must be faithful to God's word. The Bible says, don't give place to the devil. But here's Lot. He's given the devil a little foothold in his family. And not only is he being corrupted, but his entire family is being corrupted. They're recruited to the world. His daughters married unbelievers. They become seduced by Sodom, as some of our children have. His wife becomes, because of her desires of her worldly lifestyle, looks back on Sodom and becomes a pillar of salt to be an example for all of us. And so we see Lot, he went back to Sodom and he becomes seduced by Sodom, and then he's judged by He's judged with Sodom. Abraham asked God here in chapter 18, here before our text in chapter 19. He has a discussion about, will he save the city if there be just 50 righteous? And you know the story. He goes all the way down to 10. If there's just 10 righteous, and yet there's not even 10. There should have been 10 of just Lot and his family. But there's not 10 that are righteous in the city. So he sends these angels in chapter 19. Why? God, he sends these angels to search out the city. Did God not know? Did the angels have to go to Sodom to report back to God to let God know if there were 10 righteous? No, not at all. So why do it? What's the purpose behind it? God just wants us to know something about him, about sin, about judgment, about the consequences of our poor choices. But Lot knew here in verse number 2 that they were sent of God, and the Sodomites here tried to force themselves upon Lot's guests, and they wanted the people not only to approve of what they were doing. These Sodomites not only want people to approve of what they are doing, but participate in it as well. That's the homosexual mindset of today. Many try to force their beliefs upon us. That's what's happening in our culture. They are forcing this thinking upon us. It's everywhere. The LGBTQIA movement, by their demands, we must accept their perversion as normal and wholesome. They force businesses to participate in perversions. We've seen that throughout the years. They force public schools and colleges to teach the perversions as desirable and normal. They force the government to protect their rights and to, at the sacrifice of everybody else's. I mean, I would never believe, even with transgenderism over the last couple of years, is just through the roof. Unbelievable. You're going to sacrifice my rights? I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it's acceptable for a man dressed like a woman to go into a woman's locker room. That's not acceptable. I don't care how sweet you make it sound. It's still disgusting. It's still an abomination. And sometimes we can get frustrated and angry, and it is. It can make you. I'm not angry at the people. I know there are sinners. I am angry at our government. I am angry of how people accept. I'm angry at Christians for accepting this lifestyle as something that it, maybe it's not desirable to them, but allowable. Like it's something that's okay. No, it's not a choice. The thing with the sports over the last couple of years, that man and wanting to be a woman, women along with the women breaking all the records, that's just insanity. But they actively recruit others into their ungodly lifestyle, and whether it's in our schools, in our jobs, in our politics, whatever it may be. And they brand those who oppose their lifestyle, like you and I, if we say, if we oppose that lifestyle, they call us enemies of humanity. I mean, we're criminally hateful towards them. Christians do not hate homosexuals. I say that often because I don't want to portray that at all. We love them as any man, but we hate their sin just as we do our own sin. And so many, like Lot, accept their practices, likely because they've been exposed to it long enough, they've been seduced. And we see that. From the 50s, it wasn't so much of a problem. It's always been here. It's been here through all time. I'm talking about America. But in the 50s, it wasn't much of a problem. In the 80s, it started to become more acceptable until today. It's just a completely different world when it comes to sodomy. Sodomites, we know, have been given up to a reprobate mind. As it says in Romans 1, verse 22 to 28, they profess to be wise, but they're fools. They're given over to their uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts. It says they dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They change the truth of God into a lie, and God gave them up to vile affections. And everything we read through in those few verses, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them up to a reprobate mind. And so we know why they think like that. But why do we think like that? Why do we accept it? It's because we got too close to the world. Just the same reasons why Lot. And then God judges Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19 and verse number 24. The Bible says, let me find my place. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God forbids sodomy. He judges sodomy, homosexuality. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. Not just grievous, but very grievous. God forbids any homosexual, lesbian, incest, bestiality, transgenderism, other perversions. The Lord finds this sin extremely detestable and offensive to Him, and such vile behavior is contrary to how they have been created. You and I have been created. To say God created any abomination is blasphemy. This is how God created me. That's how some will say. No, that's blasphemy. That's just not true. To say that God created someone to be a sodomite is blasphemy. And so what happens to Lot this time? This time, Lot loses everything. And he gets none of it back. He loses everything. He chose to live among the heathen, befriend the sodomites, and when he chose to be yoked with unbelievers, he lost the protection and blessings of God. Never forget that. And when he lost the protection and blessing of God, eventually everything was burned up. No gaining it back. Everything that he had before he moved to Sodom is now gone. Everything he gained is now gone. Not only that, he lost his family, but his two daughters. And you know the story with that. But all, everything gone. Lost choices caused a multitude of problems. How did it start? Well, it started with his selfishness. Making choices based upon his own prosperity. And made a wrong choice to where he was going to pitch his tent. It ended with seduction. He was no match for the king of Sodom. You'll find yourself no match for Satan on your own. You're just no match. I may have told this story one time. It was really foolish. When I was a young Christian, I mean, I thought I was reading my Bible every day, and I thought I was strong in the Lord. I mean, I really, and I was doing some things, and I understand some things early on, and it was wonderful, and I was almost mad at the devil. And I remember one time thinking, man, I could take on the devil, you know, in a really naive way. And then something happened, which I won't mention, and just immediately, and it was like God just showed me, oh, you're no match for him. Not on our own. You're no match for him. And, I mean, you're no match for the world. There's going to be too much influence on you. They'll flatter you with their words, and they'll persuade you with their majority. It's going to happen. And so his family was no match for the sodomites. They looked upon them, accepted them. They did not guard themselves as Job did. They eventually aligned themselves with them. Be not deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. And so it's happening in America. It's exactly what's taking place in America right now. Our courts have legitimized and normalized these infamous practices. Hollywood has glamorized it. And I've talked about that before. Most shows are represented with a homosexual, a sodomite today. We watch them, God's people, with little or no concern. I would encourage you, don't watch any show that has a sodomite on it. Is that asking too much? I don't watch a lot of TV. It ain't a big risk for me, I guess. But I guess it will if you watch any TV, any movie. Today, it seems like many of them have some type of homosexual lead. You know, the first show with a homosexual, I went back and looked, they say it was a 1971 episode of All in the Family. And from there, we've come a long way. We've become seduced, and that's the reason, because we have not put up safeguards. We have listened to them. We've accepted their lifestyle as normal, and sodomy has become non-offensive to most Christians, non-blasphemy. It doesn't seem like it's all that big of a deal. Most people have accepted this wicked practice. And we never encourage hating people, but we must hate the sin. Just as drunkenness. I don't hate drunkards, but I sure hate drunkenness. I hate pride. I hate pride in me. Most people know a homosexual. Like I said before, they're good people. And because of that, we've become comfortable with this abomination. Every day, the country falls deeper into sexual perversion, especially when it comes to sodomy. What's the big deal? God judges it. Above all other sins, above many other sins. You know, we know that the shedding of blood, God's not going to pardon. So for abortion, we know there's judgment for abortion. It's coming. And in like manner, there's judgment for homosexuality. And so we know that if things don't change for our nation, judgment's going to come very soon. One has to wonder if the small remnant of believers left in America is all that keep the hand of God from completely destroying this wicked nation, as he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm glad God's still granting forgiveness. And so as long as there's forgiveness for the sodomite, and there's forgiveness for the nation that appeases Sodom. And so we know right now, because God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to bring us back. And if something don't change, then judgment surely will come because of this sin. So how does it change? It changes when we do something. If we do nothing, then nothing will change. It's solely, if there's any hope for America, it's with the Christian people. It's with God's churches. That they'll accept the scripture for what it says, that they'll condemn this sin, they'll put up safeguards that keep them from being seduced, and there's no hope unless we call sin, sin. No hope for our nation unless we repent and turn to God and tell the truth. And remember this, and so that sins of sodomy, it's a big sin, it's a big problem, and we need to stand in the right way. We need to stand for truth. We need not only stand for truth, we need to guard ourselves from it. I'm telling you, we have become seduced. God's people have become seduced with the sin of sodomy. We don't see it. Could you imagine someone back 80 years, you know, if they could turn on the TV and see what goes on in just a normal TV show today, they'd be appalled. Just be blasphemy. And yet today in our lives, it's easily acceptable. And then remember, your choices make all the difference for your own peace and prosperity, for your family, for this country. We must make the right choices, not based upon selfishness and not allowing ourselves to be seduced, but always aligning ourselves with the Word of God. And so I just wanted to add that, and we'll move on. We have one more, I believe, just one more section in our statement of faith, and then we're going to go into, what's the next section called? Does anybody remember? Oh, my goodness. My mind's not working. But it's just how we practice. It's how we do things. And so our covenant, I believe it is. And so we're covenanted together to do certain things. And I think inside of that covenant is how we operate. And so what are you going to do if I would die tomorrow and you needed a pastor? How would you go about handling that? Different things like that. What do we expect out of our members? And so we have a list of things that we covenant together to do, if you didn't know that. And so I got one more, that's right, abortion. I do got abortion. Is there one more after that too, right? And that's it, right? Giving. Oh, okay, so I got three more. And so the lawsuits among brethren, I may hit quickly and not get into that too much. And then giving, I'll probably hit with one lesson. Because I talk about that on a regular basis. But the next time we will talk about abortion. We'll look at the Bible and see how we know that abortion obviously is sin and what abortion is. I mean, you know, so that big debate that's been going on in our country for some time. Anybody got any thoughts or questions about tonight's lesson? Yes. Yeah.